Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Now, you're welcome back. Foreign ministers from the UK, France and Germany with the EU's foreign policy chief have open talks in Geneva today with their Iranian counterpart, among them Abbas Araghchi. The European ministers are setting out to convey a clear message to Iran that America expects zero nuclear enrichment as part of Iran's nuclear program, certainly for military purposes. But Iran has a red line of its own that stopping all enrichment is off the table, they say. While all this goes on, Israel's strikes on Iran continue. Iran responds in turn. Several embassies close in Tehran, and the UN chief, Antonio Guterres, calls on everyone to give peace a chance. And in New York, UN Security Council meeting has just been convened, and immediate de-escalation is on the agenda there. Well, for more on this, I'm joined on the line from Moscow by Chris Weaver, who's chief executive of Macro Advisory, which is a Eurasia-based business consulting firm. And we're also joined from Tel Aviv by Gideon Levy, who's columnist with the Haaretz newspaper. You're both very welcome to the programme. Gideon, if I may start with you, what is the latest you can tell us today in terms of Iranian attacks where you are and what the public mood is in Israel at the moment?
So we had another strike one and a half hour ago, 2 hours ago, and we are getting used to it. It's kind of normalization of the abnormal reality in which you wake up twice or three times a night to the shelter. In the same time, I can't help it not to mention, each time I'm running to the shelter, I think about the people of Gaza who don't have even one shelter to protect them. But it's very clear, you asked about the mood here, it's very clear that right now there is quite a wall-to-wall support in this operation, or almost wall-to-wall, but I don't see it lasting for too long, because this reality the Israelis will not take for too long. It might take 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Everything is paralyzed, life is paralyzed. This is not a reality that is sustainable for the long run.
Mm-hmm. And we're into a really critical period, aren't we, because of potential U.S. involvement here. And Donald Trump has said he's going to decide whether to bomb Iraq, join Israel in bombing Iran within 2 weeks. Now, how do you think that will go? I mean, will there be a diplomatic solution reached before then? What will the considerations be for Donald Trump to make that decision?
I guess, my session is that Donald Trump makes any possible mistake. If he wants an agreement, why do you humiliate the Iranians like this? He talks to them like garbage. Really think they will come to the negotiation table when he dictates that there is no compromise, only total surrender? In those conditions, they will not come to any negotiation table. On the other hand, he declared those 2 weeks now, which is something very, very elastic and vague. I don't know what are those 2 weeks. He gave also Vladimir Putin 2 weeks to end the war in Ukraine, and here we are. So as long as we follow this man, and we have to follow him because he has the keys now, if it's going to be a big war, big scale war, if it's going to end, it's all in his hands. And those hands are not very serious, I'm afraid to say.
Stay with me, if you don't mind. I'll bring in Chris Weaver, since you mentioned Vladimir Putin. And in a perverted twist of fate, Chris, Vladimir Putin has offered to mediate in the Iran-Israel crisis.
Yes, the annual investment conference is on this week in St. Petersburg. And this afternoon, he said that Russia has delivered proposals to, for a deal to both sides, although he did say that Russia was not active in any mediation role, but had made proposals for a compromise to both sides. And, you know, that's all he said so far. But we are aware, of course, that there has been a lot of shuttle diplomacy between Moscow, Tehran and Tel Aviv, as indeed we understand there has been from some of the Gulf states, of course, that are directly to some extent in the firing line just across the Gulf. So there's a lot of back room talking, as it were, for the last couple of weeks. But as Gideon said, it really is down to, everybody understands, it is down to what Washington does. That's critical.
But also critical are the talks possibly in Geneva. But Vladimir Putin, one would say, offering himself as a peace mediator when there's an arrest warrant from the ICC out for him for war crimes in Ukraine, really makes a mockery of all of that, doesn't it? But can I ask you how the possibility of success in Geneva to find some sort of a de-escalating solution?
I would have a very low expectation for a deal being done. And it seems to me that when you look at the whole situation, it has been building for 40 years since the revolution in Tehran. It comes up very regularly. Iran kind of threatening to annihilate Israel. As Gideon said, that they have said that they are not going to stop their nuclear program. And even if they said that they would under any deal, nobody would believe them because their facilities are opaque, they're hidden, etc. So it seems to me that we're now in a situation where both Israel and I think also Washington have decided that the only way that this existentialist threat to Israel can be resolved is with a complete destruction of all of Iran's nuclear facilities. And I think that's what's going to happen, and fairly soon.
There's a huge danger there, Gideon, isn't there? Because if they do go ahead and drop a bunker-busting bomb on an area, a bunker where uranium is being enriched by Iran, well, what happens if it flows, if radiation flows from there, if it flows into river streams, if it flows into the Gulf? It could contaminate a whole extensive region, couldn't it?
That's not the only danger, obviously. I'm not an expert for this, so I can't tell you how dangerous it is. I hope that this is being taken into account. But there are many other dangers, you know. Every war, you know how it starts. You never know how it ends. The United States was involved in so many wars in the last years in the Middle East. There was always a great promise in the beginning, and it always ended in a fiasco. So we shouldn't only look at this aspect, which is crucial, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But there are so many other dangers. And those who want Donald Trump to get in this war, ignore the dangers. Yes, there is a chance that his involvement, the American involvement, military involvement, might put an end to this war, which will be a great achievement, because I'm very afraid that this war will last much longer than this. But in the same time, there might be a price.
And what would the price be, do you think?
For example, a regional war, for example, a war of attrition between Israel and Iran. I must remind you that Iran-Iraq war lasted over 10 years. Mm-hmm. Israel is not fit for this. Israel cannot stand a long war. Israel can stand a very short war, but not much longer than what it took until now. Mm-hmm. Neither the Israeli society, nor the Israeli economy, nor the Israeli army, after 20 months of attacks in Gaza, it's not fit for now a long war of attrition.
But be that as it may, maybe the calculation from Benjamin Netanyahu now is that he has weakened Hezbollah in terms of personnel and prowess. He's weakened Hamas for sure. The Syrian regime under Bashar al-Assad has been deposed. Russia has a war on another front with Ukraine. The Houthis are very far away. So where is the Iranian strength now? That's probably his calculation, is it not?
Absolutely, and that's exactly the reason for the timing now, plus a green light that he most probably got from the American administration. But is it a guarantee for the continuous? No, it's not a guarantee for the continuous. I still believe that the only guarantee will be an agreement. But for an agreement, you don't humiliate the other side like Donald Trump did.
Chris, can I bring you in for just a second here? Do you think it's in... It's been said that it's in Benjamin Netanyahu's interest to keep this war going. Is it in Vladimir Putin's interest that this war continues for some time?
No, it is not. I mean, over the short term, of course, Russia is gaining in terms of cash flow. The oil price has gone up quite a lot. And for sure, up to several weeks ago, the Russian budget was showing signs of strain. The deficit was rising, and there was definitely a lot more talk about the fact that Russia could not sustain this level of spending in the Ukraine war, for more than another year without risking a crisis. So the higher oil price on the back of the threat of an escalation in the Middle East has certainly bailed them out. But that's a short term. The bigger considerations for Russia would be the fact that Iran is, for example, a member of the BRICS group, which Russia and China, of course, want to develop long term as a counterbalance to the U.S. in global economy, global politics. There's a lot of infrastructure in Iran, which is very important for sustaining the Russian economy. For example, goods coming from India and from Dubai, the goods that are bypassing the European blockade, they all come through to Iran. And also Iran is very important in terms of maintaining stability in places like the Caucasus. For example, it supports Armenia, which prevents Azerbaijan from being too aggressive. A weak Iran could risk, an escalation in the Caucasus that could easily spread then into southern Russia. So, no, I mean, there's a short-term benefit in terms of oil cash flow, yeah. But I think the Russians would be very fearful of this kind of escalating into something bigger and longer term. It would certainly be damaging for Russia.
Can I ask you what, finally, Gideon Levy, on this? So you're both outlining the huge risks of this war escalating. But I just wonder if, and an analyst recently on this program mentioned that this is the 2025 Iraq moment, referring to the 2003 weapons of mass destruction false premise upon which the US entered and started war with Iraq. Is this war on Iran by Israel being waged, in your opinion, under a false premise?
I don't know. The matter of fact is that I don't know. We were not presented with a smoking gun, but Israel keep on claiming that they were running toward the bomb. On the other hand, the American intelligence agencies claim that this is not correct. I can't know where is the truth. And obviously, if they were running toward the bomb, I can understand this attack much easier than if they were far away from the attack. The only thing I know for sure is that the best years were the years in which there was an agreement between the United States, Europe, and Iran. In those years, Iran was very reluctant about developing anything illegal. And once the American broke this agreement under the pressure of Benjamin Netanyahu, then started this race toward the bomb. So back to the beginning, diplomacy, agreement will always be the first priority in my view. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that this is the case with Israel.
Okay, well, we're certainly on the cliff edge now. Things have rarely been as volatile. Thank you very much indeed. Gideon Levy, columnist with Haaretz, and Chris Weaver, chief executive of Macro Advisory, a Eurasia-based business consulting firm in Moscow. We'll take a break.